You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I'll tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, we got in here tonight on two wheels. I don't even know if we're fully up and running yet, but time is a cruel master, and so we certainly hope you can hear us. We got in here and fired up the studio as quick as we could tonight at the station, but I think everything's going well. At least our producers say that it is, and it's great to be back with you here tonight for another live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. August 20th, it's Saturday night here in Memphis, and I guess in most places around the world it will be Saturday, August 20th, if you're listening to us live right now. Bases are loaded on TPC tonight. You're going to hear from Dr. Kevin McDonald, Sean Bergen, and Jim Lancia. Primary topics tonight, the riots in Milwaukee, and of course, we're going to be talking Trump as well, some of the latest observations that we've made from the campaign trail with these three heavyweight guests. In addition to that, I don't think your hosting staff or slouches in and of our own right, yours truly, along with Keith Alexander the Great. And before we get started tonight, Keith, I would just like to share with the audience just a couple of things. You know, we tried to use the first segment, the opening segment, before we get into the heart of the program for any given week, as just a little friendly banter to give announcements. We get so many cards, so many emails, so many messages by any really means of communication imaginable, but we got this card. It's a Hallmark card. Guy spent $4 just to send us this card, and he thanks us for what we do, for your thoughtfulness and generosity. May God bless you today, tomorrow, and always, reads the card. This gentleman lives in Chino, California. He sent us a contribution for $36.98. This guy sends us a check every month, normally between $15 and $40, but $36.98 was the total in our contribution from Bill and Chino this month. $18.21 for 1821, the year Nathan Bedford Forrest was born. $18.77 for the year 1877, the year he passed to heaven. So reads the card. And so 1821 plus 1877 equals 3698. And let me tell you something, folks. These are the contributions we are taking on the mainstream media, or the establishment media, the clown media, like never before. Here on the AM airwaves, we're in the news every week, and it's bankrolled by this gentleman in Chino, California, and people like him all over the country and around the world who send us in these small contributions. And, well, to us, it's not so small. To us, it's the difference between being on the air and off the air. But nevertheless, love this guy. He's there for us every month for years now, and he always sends a nice note along with it. And, folks, we're here for you. This is our audience. We know who our audience is, and we envy no one's audience. We have the audience that we were intended to have, and we're proud to be your voices. Right, Keith?
Absolutely. You know, little contributions like that allow us to come on because we're dedicated warriors for our cause. That's what it is. If we were looking to make money and insisted on making money in order to do this, we'd have been off the air a long time ago. But we see this as a mission larger than our own financial well-being. We're interested in seeing the world change. We know that the people to which we belong have been marginalized unfairly by the elites. There's a coalition of the elites, a conspiracy of the elites at the top and the people at the bottom of American society against the people in the middle, the working class, the lower middle class, even the regular middle class. All of us and our ideas have been spurned, and they're allowing the people in the poverty level to leapfrog us through affirmative action. We're not going to put up with it anymore. And quite frankly, James, we had a great lunch this week, and we saw that some of the things we've been recommending the Trump campaign do over the past, you know, year, basically, are finally bearing fruit. They're coming around. They're doing what we're talking about. Most notably, when they put this Mr. Bannon, isn't that what his name is?
Stephen Bannon.
Stephen Bannon from Breitbart a media-savvy guy in charge, and there was also a big article in Vanity Fair about the Trump News Network that is being proposed at this time, and the speculation is Mr. Bannon might be one of the head prime movers in that. That's exactly what he needs. You know, you cannot let the establishment go unchallenged, and the establishment is now training their sights. They're in full panic mode because of his victory, and they want to drive him out with a barrage, a relentless fusillade of negative press coverage, and he knows he's got to get his own media outlets into the mainstream in order to survive their attacks. That's just what we've been saying for the past year, James.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it would be hard to believe that they are not listening to what we say along with everyone else in the media. Where not only are we in the media every week on our own program, but certainly stories written about this program, this network, every week in the press, and many of them linking us to Donald Trump by ways either real or imagined. So maybe what we do is going to have a domino effect far greater than what we could have anticipated. But I want to get back very quickly, just a couple of more quick things, and we're going to talk a lot more about Trump this hour before we move on to our guests in the second and third hours, respectively. This gentleman in California that sent us that contribution we were talking about is the descendant of Union soldiers. And so who says the political cesspool can't get people together? I do have another little story to tell you. I was shopping with my wife on Thursday, and I run into a guy. Never met him before, and he certainly didn't know me, but he was wearing a Hunley T-shirt, the CSS Hunley submarine, the first naval vessel to sink an enemy ship.
First submarine.
Right, the first submarine, and it was a Confederate submarine. And, I, of course, anytime I see someone with a Confederate flag T-shirt, a bumper sticker, whatever, I go up and talk to them, shake their hand, and thank them, and we had a nice little conversation. And people like
that. It's really the red badge of courage, no pun intended, in today's society.
Well, let's see, what else above and beyond that? And you should do that too, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And even if I see a car and they're not in it, I find something to write on and leave it on their windshield. We need to encourage our brothers and sisters. Very quickly, we are 1 week into our life on Twitter. Follow us tonight. Message us. Send us a tweet. Send us a direct message. Our handle is James Edwards TPC for the Political Cesspool. We talked about this last week, but James Edwards TPC on Twitter. Follow us, number one, and then send us a message maybe during the show. We'll read a few. We did that last week. Twitter is a different animal. It's sort of like I liken this to the In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger, really big in California. The Big Lebowski likes it in the movie. Everybody out there knows In-N-Out Burger, but out here you don't know it. We're sort of like the In-N-Out Burger of AM radio. We cast a wide shadow on AM radio. Twitter is a different platform, a different media. I am the only person on the Political Cesspool hosting staff that actually has Twitter, and I only got it about 7 days ago. You don't have it, Keith. Winston doesn't. Eddie doesn't. Sam doesn't. All of our staff and crew doesn't have Twitter.
But and we need to. And the reason is, you could argue that it's one media that has lifted Trump to the top of the pack.
Well, it's done a lot. It's done a lot. It's not our signature media. We made our name in other platforms, but...
But it is Trump's.
Well, Trump's on Twitter.
It's his signature media.
Well, follow us on there. I know a lot of our people in the AM radio audience aren't on Twitter. It's a different animal. But if you're on Twitter, we're having a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun on Twitter this week, and I want to have some fun with you on Twitter. So follow us, James Edwards TPC, if you do the Twitter thing. And I know our audience is a little older and perhaps not as into that as some of the young Turks are, but get on there and follow us, and we can have some fun even tonight during the show. We'll be back, and we're going to get down into the meat and potatoes of this whole show right after this.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, let's get down to work, shall we? Just one last thing about Twitter, though. Obviously, a lot of the people who are making such a ruckus for Trump on Twitter probably don't listen to a lot of AM radio. A lot of the people who listen to AM radio probably aren't on Twitter. I can speak for our entire staff, save yours truly, and that was just a week ago, as I mentioned. But we'll try to cross-pollinate where we can. I will say this. We have heard from a lot of political cesspool listeners on Twitter from all over the world, from Germany, from the UK, all across America, and I've retweeted some of these kind notes. Just really a lot of love out there for this program, even on Twitter, which isn't really our audience. But we're gonna be there. It doesn't hurt us to be there. It's free, and we'll do the best we can and continue to obviously put our best foot forward on our primary platform, which is here on the radio and, of course, our online audience as well. But speaking of Europe, we got this postcard in from Kiev, Keith, this week.
Ukraine.
That's right. We have a listener who is a world traveler. He is at all places at all times. His name is John, and he's from the UK. And we got something from the Sistine Chapel from him. A couple of weeks ago, he was in Kiev, Ukraine recently, sent us this very nice postcard. He sent us a postcard from the UK just a few days ago as well. This beautiful little hamlet that looked like it could have been a picture taken during the reign of Henry VIII. I'm just saying, bottom line, we've got folks all over the world listening to this show. We have done it for 12 years without retreat, surrender, or apologies, and the fruits are bearing like never before.
There are lovers of truth everywhere.
That's right. Well, let's get down to what we talked about at lunch yesterday with regards to the Trump campaign. First of all, the observation I made as soon as we sat down was, well, let's not get into do you believe the polls, do you not believe the polls. Let's just assume for argument's sake that these polls are accurate. And let's assume that because they were accurate in the primaries. Trump won in the states the polls indicated he was leading. He lost in some of the states that they indicated he wasn't winning in at the time. So let's assume, though, just again, for argument's sake, that these polls are correct. The race is tightening, even according to these polls. Trump is closing the gap. I think just last week when we were on the air, the difference was between 4 and 11 points. The best poll I saw, Trump was down 4. The worst, he was down 11. Now it's between 1 and 5. A lot of reasons for that. But this is all happening amidst this campaign shakeup where Paul Manafort is out and you have Stephen Bannon in and the new lady Kellyanne in. So Trump's going to be Trump. He's going to win as Trump or he's going to lose as Trump, but he's going to be Trump. First of all, your thoughts on that, Keith, and I got a couple of different hypotheses on why it is, in fact, tightening, but go, Keith.
Okay, I think it's more than just a shakeup in his campaign staff. This goes beyond the campaign. It goes into his presidency. He is setting up, through Bannon's leadership, the new Trump News Network that has to exist in order for him to survive. Otherwise, right now, the establishment in all of its manifestations, academia, the entertainment industry, the news media, they are in full panic mode because they know that if Trump gets in, they're going to be on the outside looking in just like we are right now. They're going to be replaced and they are going to be looking for work and they're not going to have those microphones that allow them to basically make an alternative reality about Trump, about people like us in the media. And it's going to be, like Bob Dylan said, there's a hard rain that's going to fall and they realize it. That's why, even though the polls may have been accurate in the primaries, now this means business. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we're playing for keeps. We're playing for counts. This is where, you know, there's actual, you know, money at stake. So they're going to leave no effort unturned or used in order to defeat Trump. And what they're trying to do, which is what I had pointed out earlier, is they're following the cultural Marxist paradigm. They are using the cultural Marxist strategy of critical theory, which is relentless, nonstop, 24/7 criticism of Donald Trump. Donald Trump, for example, he eats bad. Oh, look, he's eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, or he's eating a McDonald's burger. How gauche. How unbecoming a president of the United States. We need a cosmopolitan elitist like Barack Obama, who got swept into the Ivy League and is, you know, the new man of the managerial class in America and the world. Donald Trump is a throwback to the 19th century, a rugged individualist entrepreneur who has basically clawed and scratched his way to the top of the heap. He's a different animal altogether than what they want. And his ideas resonate with the forgotten Americans in the middle, the middle American radicals, as Sam Francis called them.
Well, we predicted that as the race would tighten, there would be even more articles or articles appearing more frequently about us and Trump and this whole relationship that we're supposed to have, which isn't much of a relationship at all. We went to a rally. We went to the Republican convention because we're a nationally syndicated radio show. We had every right to be there, but I guess, we interviewed Donald Trump Jr. How many other outlets have done that? Probably hundreds, if not thousands. But sure enough, just on Friday, I believe it was, a comprehensive history of Donald Trump's association with the white nationalist movement. And about half the article was about us and Liberty News Radio Network. And it's just all of this hysterical, laughable, the mocking is turning to dread type of writing. But
they've turned James into the Wizard of Oz behind the screen, who's turning the knobs that is animating everything that Trump says and whatnot. It's really ridiculous.
According to the press, I tell you, and it's been national news coverage since February, and it has been relentless. I don't think there's been a week since February we haven't been in the news in some shape, form, or fashion above and beyond our own show. But getting back to these polls, I said, let's, for argument's sake, believe them because they were accurate in the primaries. It is hard to believe them, though, when you take into account a few things. Trump's crowds, we've talked about this before, but his crowds are at least twice the capacity of these huge arenas and these huge venues that he's going to. Hillary Clinton is bringing in a couple of hundred of people at a pop. Joe Biden was in his hometown a few days ago and had about as many people there, Keith, as we had at our 10-year anniversary party for the political cesspool. There's about 175 people there. So it is hard to reconcile these polls with the crowds that we see turning out for each respective candidate.
This is their manipulation of the news. This is the mediumism massage, as Marshall McLuhan said. Here's what they're doing. I've noticed in the past week, for the first time, they are muffling all the applause that Trump gets in his rallies. You'll just have this dead air for a moment.
Classic tactic.
Yeah, classic tactic. On the other hand, they amplify the applause lines and whatnot for Hillary Clinton. They're trying to create a false new universe, a false new reality, in order to induce the other great tenet of cultural Marxism in Trump supporters, namely cultural pessimism. They want Trump supporters to say, well, it's a done deal. Trump isn't going to win. Why should I bother to go to the polls? Well, let me tell you, folks, be darn sure you go to the polls and bring as many like-minded people to the polls as possible. Take off Election Day and drive people there. During the early voting period, pick up older people that you may know at nursing homes and things like this. Take them to the polls. Make sure they've got a picture ID. And get them to vote, because these votes are all going to count. And the left is intentionally trying to suppress the Trump vote by making it seem that Trump's mission is hopeless, that he'll never be elected president.
Well, we said this the other day. A lot of times our people would say, well, it looks like we may lose. We'll just ride out Clinton. We'll ride out Obama. You can't ride out Clinton. And this is another thing we talked about. It's America is on the precipice. If it's not too late already, and it may well be, there's no doubt about it. If she appoints the next two or three Supreme Court justices, it's over. America will never be reclaimed by the existing structure. And that's a reality we don't want to face, because it could get worse. And worse is sometimes just worse. Worse isn't always better. We're going to take a break. More of our observations from what we've seen in the last few days on the presidential campaign trail right after this. You're listening to The Political Cesspool with James Edwards and Keith Alexander.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As part of its Rural Pride program, the United States Department of Agriculture is hosting a series of summits to promote the role of lesbian farmers. In collaboration with singer and LGBT agitator Cindy Lauper, the USDA is planning a day of conversation, examining what they call the struggles of gay and transgender people in rural America. The objective, predictably, is to challenge the perception of what it means to be a farmer away from the, quote, white rich male, reports the Washington Beacon. Contrary to the widely held myths that the LGBT community is largely living in affluent metropolitan areas, studies show a very different and more realistic picture of the LGBT community, lectures the USDA, which plays an occasional role in agriculture when it's not promoting the gender revolution. For a number of reasons, many people in the LGBT community choose to live, work, and raise their families in the rural communities that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is proud to serve. The agency's outreach efforts follow publication of a report by the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, a non-governmental lobbying and pressure group, purporting to find that lesbian couples are more likely to be low income and almost twice as likely to receive public assistance. The transgender community is particularly vulnerable, the agency continues, adding that it is excited to target and address those supposed needs.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder, irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign, misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Talking about how the presidential race is tightening, according to the polls. If you believe these polls again, with who you got to believe these polls are your lying eyes, you see Hillary Clinton with the entire establishment press 100% behind her. They shill for her. They defend her. They protect her. That's this whole thing about WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is supposed to be this evil thing. WikiLeaks is doing the job that legitimate journalists used to do. Finding the truth, exposing corruption. That's what journalists, or at least ideally, were known for. Now they're just known for being the enforcers of political correctness and being mouthpieces for the regime, covering for Hillary, shilling for Hillary, doing everything they can to make sure that she's presented in a good light. Any deficiencies or struggles she may have, brushed under the rug, made up controversies about Donald Trump, fabricated and manufactured and put out there. The press is so corrupt and disgusting. I won't talk to them anymore. I do not give interviews anymore. And that's what I said on Twitter this week. Yeah, these same outlets that write these horrible defamations and libelous accusations about us will email us behind the scenes very politely begging me for an interview. Well, it's just not going to happen. But has Hillary peaked too soon, even with this incredible assist from the global media? Has she peaked too soon? She got that big bounce after the Philadelphia convention, so say the polls. Maybe as high as a double-digit lead over Trump, but now it's being whittled away. I'd rather peak on Halloween than in late July. But here's another thing. Where is Hillary at? I don't even think she made a campaign appearance this week, and this is something that's getting a lot of play on Twitter, and not so much in the establishment press for reasons I just mentioned, but is Hillary sick? Is she diseased? She can't stand for more than a few minutes at a time. She's always on a stool at her campaign pitches, and she hasn't made an appearance in a week. In a week, and there's no reason for her not to be appearing. In the meantime, I think she did literally, in all seriousness, 3 appearances this week. Donald Trump did 14. They're the same age. Keith?
Look, Hillary Clinton is sick. There's no doubt about that, and I'm not using that metaphorically. I mean that literally.
You mean that in both ways, actually.
Yeah, well, but really, what is happening is she's not in Louisiana, for example. Of course, Obama's not there because he doesn't give a darn about the people in Louisiana, and now he's a lame duck. He'd much rather get free vacations at the taxpayers' expense or play golf or whatever else he likes to do. He certainly doesn't like the hard work of governing. But Hillary Clinton, I think, you know, I guess the real acid test, James, is going to be the debates. We'll see how she performs in the debates, whether she's quick-witted, whether she's articulate, or whether she, you know, what she tends to do in an argument is resorts to screeching, and she thinks if she can screech louder, she can win the argument. We'll see what happens in these debates, but quite frankly, I think we're going to see a debilitated candidate.
First debate, by the way, is September 26th, if you didn't know that. Mark it. That's the first debate. We're going to watch Donald Trump, the next president of the United States, mop the floor with crooked Hillary. And I tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't go into one of her seizures on stage, because she hasn't had a press conference in over a year. And when she gets challenged by a real candidate, by a real go-getter, a firebrand, I don't know how she's going to react. But nevertheless, Trump is out there earning it. Hillary wants it given to her by the press. She wants to have the presidency passed down to her like some sort of an heirloom. Well, Trump is out there, 14 appearances this week. And that's another thing. I posted something to my Twitter account this week, or just last night, actually. God bless Donald Trump for going out there. He rented these tractor trailers to bring in supplies to Baton Rouge. The media is not covering Baton Rouge at all. It's a biblical flood there. It's an epic flood, very much on par with the devastation we saw from Katrina, which, of course, everybody was talking about. No media coverage on the poor people of Baton Rouge. And Baton Rouge has just had such a horrible summer. You had the Black Lives Matter adherent going and murdering the police officers there. We have fans in Baton Rouge. Of course, it's a southern city. And when you're a southerner, Baton Rouge might as well be your hometown. Any city in the South is your hometown. You can go from Arlington, Virginia to Corpus Christi, Texas, from St. Louis, Missouri to Key West, Florida, and you still feel like you're at home when you're in the South. And so when something happens to Baton Rouge, it feels as though it's happened to my family. So these are our people. But no coverage from the media. Donald Trump is down there passing out supplies. But what's happening? I could not find one major establishment, not NBC, not ABC, not CBS, with the story of Trump passing out these goods. I had to go to a blog that had video footage of it and local news reports. They didn't put that up there. Obama's on vacation. Hillary's God knows where, but she's not down there.
And nobody Trump's comments there. About it in the
nobody,
mainstream media.
But except for, there were a few stories saying, oh, Trump's down in Baton Rouge for a photo op. Even the governor of Louisiana, don't come down here for a photo op. They would never say that to any other leading candidate for the presidency.
Well, he's gone down there because he genuinely cares about middle America. Like I said, what we're seeing now in government and have for the past 70 years is a conspiracy of the top with the bottom of society to the detriment of the middle. And he is a candidate of the middle. He's the one that's going to give voice to our concerns. He's anti-globalist. He is anti-immigration. Particularly third world immigration into America. He is, let me see, I have my notes here. Let me see what else he has. He's a populist, and they're elitist. This is exactly what we've been waiting for years, is a candidate like Donald Trump. And he's going to win if we don't allow ourselves to get discouraged. We cannot let the mainstream alphabet soup media tell us what is important and what's not. If you listen to them, you're going to be in deep depression. You need to tune into us as an antidote. You need to listen to Trump's speeches. Just listen to that. If that doesn't encourage you, if that's not more encouraging than anything you heard from one of our royal families like the Bushes or the Clintons or the Kennedys, they think they ought to just step in, they ought to take the baton of power from their predecessor in the family and move forward, then we're going to get what we deserve. We've got to make sure that we understand the methodology of cultural Marxism, which is being exercised to the nth degree in this election. They are trying to induce cultural pessimism in us, and we've got to resist it. You need to understand that everything you hear from the establishment media is a lie. It's maybe a subtle lie, but it's intended to demoralize you so you think you don't have a chance.
We got
to
work this in, Keith, because this you triggered a memory of mine when we were discussing this yesterday. Yes, it's true. The media wants to discourage the Trump voters while doing everything they can to turn out the Hillary voters. Hillary is under 50% in the polls, no matter how you slice it. And Donald Trump, despite all of this effort from the media, and they've totally chosen sides, he's still within striking distance, and I think he's going to be the next president, no doubt about it. But you compared what the media is doing to Donald Trump with another historical figure. Can you remember that analogy?
Talking about Richard Nixon?
No.
What?
The one from Russia.
Oh, Rasputin. Yeah, Rasputin. See, Rasputin has a lot of mythology around him. He was this Siberian monk who was supposedly a faith healer, and he was able to stop the Tsareviches, the young son of the Tsar and Tsarina, from bleeding, and as a result, he had access to the Tsar and Tsarina and to the power in Russia. Well, his enemies among the aristocracy wanted him killed, so at a cocktail party, they poisoned him, then they stabbed him, then they shot him, then they tied him up and threw him in the river. Well, much to their shock and chagrin, shock and awe, the next evening he showed up at a cocktail party.
So this is like Trump. Despite everything, they've thrown the kitchen sink at this man with all of these imagined manufactured, fabricated controversies. They've done everything they could to cover for Hillary, and yet still she can't pull away. Still he's right there. And I think he gained 2 points in the polls for what he did in Baton Rouge yesterday at a minimum. She's AWOL. Obama's on vacation. He's down there getting dirty for the people. He's the people's champion.
Well, if that's Kellyanne Crawley's, the new head of the Trump campaign's contribution, then bravo to her.
She's would have done it anyway. Yeah, I don't think he needed to be told to go down there.
I don't think so either. But what is amazing is not that he went down there, but the silence is deafening about the no-show of either Hillary or Obama.
Well, the silence is deafening about the whole flood. You wouldn't even know the flood happened unless it's been totally drowned out in the media. They haven't covered the flood. They haven't covered Hillary's absence from Baton Rouge or Donald Trump's presence there.
And you know why I think that is? Because it happened to people like us, people in the middle, working class, lower middle class people. So who wants to waste any attention on those slubs? That's what the establishment thinks. But we're about to grow some fangs and teeth, folks, and we're going to take over.
It's coming. It's going to happen. America's going to win for a change. When we come back, we're going to hear from Scoop Stanton. He's going to give us the latest police obituaries and then a little bit more in this next segment. So stay tuned. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, bases are loaded on TPC tonight. We have three incredible guests still coming your way tonight during the second and third hours. In this order, Sean Bergen, former television newsman, the best I've heard outside of Sam Bushman in terms of being able to break down a story, the who, what, where, when, and why. He does it succinctly. He does it with passion and zeal. Sean Bergen is a pro's pro. Then Jim Lancia, former police officer in Bridgeport, Connecticut. He wrote the book Downtown White Police. And finally, in the third hour, Dr. Kevin McDonald, former professor at California State University and, of course, author and editor of the Occidental Quarterly and the Occidental Observer website. So Bergen, Lancia, McDonald still forthcoming tonight. But first, our very own Scoop Stanton with his weekly report. Scoop, to you.
Thank you, James. James, just for a slight correction, you have one guest. That'd be Dr. McDonald.
Sean Bergen, this is true,
is our New York correspondent. Jim Lancia is our criminal justice correspondent to the show, and I'm just a good old Scoop. But hey,
well, okay, I think that, just to clarify for the audience, Scoop is correct about this. Lancia and Bergen are not guests per se because they are part of the staff, although they don't appear every week like Scoop, so it's... We won't split hairs, but technically he is correct.
On the other hand, they're so important and so brilliant that, quite frankly, they match any other guest we could have.
That's absolutely right. So they deserve it. They're so good, they're a little bit of a cut above our own staff, I guess you could say. Anyway, go, Scoop. I'm sorry for that. Go.
No problem. All right. We first want to remember Officer Timothy Kevin Smith of the Eastman, Georgia Police Department, who was shot Kelly Spine to a call, man with a gun. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, police shootings are up 80%. That's not a cop shooting at people. That's cops being shot and killed, up 80%. Now, cops being shot and injured has got to be up triple digits. Okay, moving right along. We recently all heard about the officer-involved shooting in Milwaukee. I'm going to let Sean and Jim talk about that. But the victim's sister, Sherelle Smith, was at a rally and told people at the rally to go to the suburbs and burn stuff down there, stuff being some fecal matter, and not to burn stuff down in the hood as, quote, they need their weave. For those who don't know what a weave is, it's either human hair or synthetic hair that women of color either use as extensions, wigs, or even as their own hair by having it sewn in their own scalp. Right? You heard that correctly. Hair sewn into your own scalp. And one thing about these weave shops, these establishments are usually looted during riots. So I guess the hood, Ms. Smith, lives in Milwaukee, has enough food stores selling fresh produce, meats, vegetables, has enough playgrounds in good working conditions, free from drug paraphernalia, schools and libraries in good condition, well supplied, and healthcare facilities so that the those who don't have health insurance can go see a doctor, get checked out, and so on and so forth. But again, Sean Bergen and Jim Lancia will have more on the situation in Milwaukee. Secondly, if you don't think Donald Trump deserves your vote this week, go ahead and change Hillary Clinton's Depends. First, Trump gives a one-order speech to the black community. Mr. Trump first and foremost stated that he supported the police 100%. We've seen this time and time and time and time again. Secondly, he, quote, pandered, unquote, to the black community by offering such things as job opportunities, by bringing back jobs and bringing back charter schools that the teachers union despise. Now, if you live in, say, Washington, D.C., the five boroughs in New York City, Chicago, Detroit, those public schools suck. Well, he wants to bring in charter schools. And believe it or not, charter schools do very well. He offered no programs, no giveaways, nor did he speak down to the black community. And unlike Hillary Clinton, he did not put on a fake jive accent. Next, Donald Trump went down to Louisiana first. President Obama was too busy looking after the safety and welfare of rich white people in Nantucket. And Hillary was either recuperating from her many ailments or showing John Taffer how she shakes a martini without even knowing she's shaking the martini. Trump was seen unloading a tractor trailer of provision that he bought. Yes, it was political, but that tractor trailer could have been stuffed with medical waste and female hygiene products, and the people of Louisiana would be happy. Needless to say, Mr. Trump no longer has to campaign in the state of Louisiana. James Keith, back to you.
Excellent report, Scoop. No, I mean, Trump is going to win Louisiana no matter what he did. Trump's going to win every southern state. I guess Florida and Virginia, maybe toss-ups, maybe even North Carolina. But Trump is going to dominate Dixie, as most Republicans do. And I'm going to toss it to you, Keith. But there was one thing Scoop said in that that was correct, but there's a little more to it. So Trump gives this excellent speech outside of Milwaukee. And I think we talked about this. I talked about this on Sam Bushman's show on Wednesday. I was a guest on the Liberty Roundtable program. Trump is catching this flack for not going to Milwaukee, but doing it 40 miles outside of Milwaukee. No presidential candidate is going to go into a riot zone and give a talk, especially Donald Trump, whose supporters are already accosted and beaten and bloodied by the thugs of the left to begin with. You go into a riot zone while it's still hot? No one would do that. Hillary Clinton certainly wasn't in Milwaukee.
But at least he's still in the same state.
And he was close to it, but he wasn't pandering to blacks either. I think certainly what Donald Trump wants to do will be what's right for all Americans. I'm thankful for people like Jesse Lee Peterson. For everyone, Jesse Lee Peterson, though, who is a friend of mine, I think he's an American hero. We've been on CNN together. There's 50,000 Jesse Jacksons. But here's the thing. More than pandering to blacks, I think what Trump was doing was reassuring the cucks who voted for Kasich and some of these other candidates that he's going to be good enough for them, too. I think he was reaching out to the cucked Republican voter more so than blacks. Trump's at 1% with the black vote nationwide. And guess what? He's not doing any better or worse than Romney or McCain in that regard, and than any other Republican candidate would have done outside of Trump in this year's field either.
Look, the black electorate is like Jerry Maguire, show me the money. The Democrats have shown them the money, and they're not going to deviate from their support for the Democrats until the money stops flowing to them from the Democratic regimes. But I think he's doing something more. I think Trump is doing something more by visiting both Milwaukee and or the outskirts of Milwaukee and Louisiana. His family is a big part of his allure. You notice that the mainstream media has done their best not to cover any other members of his family, his children, because they know that's a big plus for him. Trump, by going to Louisiana and Milwaukee, is establishing his bona fides as the father of our nation. Just like George Washington was the father of our nation when it was founded, Trump is going to come in like a father and make sure that American citizens get treated properly, get good jobs, get good health care, get good circumstances in life, that their children have opportunities. He said, why can't our children dream too? This is exactly what he needs to do. He needs to reach out to the forgotten middle of American politics and tell them that you're not forgotten in my eyes, and if I get to be president, we're going to make sure you're taken care of.
Well, that's an excellent observation as well, Keith. And nevertheless, I think this week overall was a huge step forward for Trump. What he did in Baton Rouge, what he did in Wisconsin, what he's done at each of his appearances this week. Hillary's AWOL. Trump is earning it, and he's closing the gap. I think the shakeup at the campaign was good. And I have a quick question, Keith, and I mean answer this in 30 seconds or less because we want to give Scoop the final word. This is his segment after all, but this question comes in for you specifically, Keith. Do you think that Manafort was a plant to discredit the Trump campaign? I thought that dumping Lewandowski was awful, this listener writes, and that Trump probably caved under the pressure from the appeasers in his campaign. I knew it was a bad move when I first read the headline that Manafort would replace Lewandowski. It's always a good strategy to stay loyal to those who are loyal to you.
Well, I think that there's no way that you could be in the employ of the Republican Party leadership over the past 20 or so years without being one of them. And the last thing that Trump needs is to make himself seem to be just another Republican candidate. So, yes, I tend to agree with our caller. And Corey Lewandowski apparently is proven to be the Nostradamus of the campaign. The vision is let Trump be Trump, but basically get some good advice and heed some of it, you know, like going down to Louisiana. If that was advice given to him by someone else, that's fine. But let me tell you, I trust Trump.
All right, Scoop, final word to you this segment. Keep in mind we're going to be breaking down the Milwaukee riots in detail with Sean Bergen and Jim Lancia coming up in the next hour. Scoop, final word this segment to you, brother.
All right, a couple things. One, Trump did not go into Milwaukee because Secret Service did not want him going to Milwaukee, obvious reasons. Number two, don't believe the polls. For example, they say Trump's falling 1%. I'm going to tell you right now, it's got to be higher because I work with lots of black people, and they're sick and tired of Obama. They're voting for Trump. They're all in for Trump. They're supporting Trump 100%. So, again, don't believe the polls. Don't believe the garbage on mainstream media. The mainstream media is already saying Hillary's got 270, 275, 300, got the whole thing. Trump's got zero. That's balderdash. James?
Good point. I think it could be higher. I don't think it's going to be double digits in the black community because no Republican ever does that. But if he can, and listen, they don't need to. They don't need to. It's still 13. Bill O'Reilly was talking about this. It's still 13% of the population. You get a couple of extra points in the Republican base, and it's going to make up for that in the black community. But he should go after every vote that isn't nailed down.
Look, you get one extra point in the white population in the white part of the electorate, and that's worth like 6 points in the black electorate. Going up, so
but still though, he shouldn't try not to win votes. He should try to win every vote he can, black, white, red, yellow, whatever. He should try to get it, and I hope that more blacks will vote for Trump as well as whites, of course, to say the least. We got to take a break. We'll be back with Sean Bergen. Thank you, Scoop, for your contributions tonight. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.